You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, together again. Buck, how are we doing, man?
Man, we're good. DJ, we're good. Today is the debut of Path to the Draft. And so, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. So we get the podcast. We have like a little pre-show meeting. We got the taping and all that other stuff. So it should be fun. I know that you are only blessing us with your presence and knowledge on Tuesdays each week, but it still should be fun. So we'll get into some of the things that we'll eventually talk on Path, but today should be a fun discussion, just talking about anything and everything draft related.
Yeah, we've got Path to the Draft cranking up today, so be on the lookout of that Monday through Friday as we go to the draft and even a week after the draft. We've got mock draft weeklies. I'll be up there Tuesday, so I'll be up there for Path as well as mock draft weekly. We've got the Move the Sticks episodes coming your way 3 days a week, as always. So lots of draft content coming your way, including Buck writing some awesome stuff on NFL.com as well, which we're going to jump into here, Buck, in just a moment, because I want to have this quarterback discussion. We were talking about this off the air and excited to chat about this on the air. But as we get into that, I wanted to start off with this. We are in top 30 visit season. And I know teams do this differently. I don't know that we've ever talked about this on the pod before, because I'd be curious the teams you worked for, how you approached it, because some teams maybe bring in one or two guys at a time. Other teams, you know, bring in a whole host of guys and put them in there and let them interact together. How did you guys do it with the teams you were with?
We brought in the guys that we were really interested in. And I know, like, what happens, people try to not send up smoke signals when it comes to guys that they may draft. But at the end of the day, we talk about the limited amount of time that you have with the top prospects. You want to have as much intel as you can have on these guys. And so when you bring in a guy for a top 30 visit, he gets a chance to come in the facility. You're around him for 24 hours. You're able to kind of put him in meetings and talk to the coaches, position coaches, coordinators. You have dinner with them. So you really walk away knowing the 30 prospects that you bring in. Now, you're kind of letting maybe the league know who could be in your crosshairs, but I would rather them know and us continue to be able to get the draft pick right than trying to play a bunch of different games and not really get all of the information that we need to have so we can make good decisions on draft day.
Yeah, I would break it down this way for the teams that I was with. If you have 30 visits, I would say 15 of them would be for players that are in the mix. You know, like you're in the mix of taking them in the first or second round, you know, high priority guys. You just want one more interaction with them. You're going to have, you know, seen them at all-star games, combine, pro day, maybe a private workout with your position coach, but it's just another chance to get around them. So you say you allocate maybe half of those for guys that you're really interested in taking early in the draft. I would say 10 are because of medical or character that you need to clean up. So you're going to bring them in. We want to get another look at them medically. Maybe there's something that popped up at the combine that caused a little bit of concern there in the building with your medical staff. So you're going to bring him in to be able to hopefully answer some of those questions. And then you have some of the character stuff as well. Maybe it's something that happened off the field you want to clean up. Maybe there's some football character issues, some issues about maybe their work ethic, things like that. So you're going to allocate some spots to bring guys in for that reason. And then I would say lastly, 5, you probably hold 5, some years more than 5, but 5 guys who were not invited to the combine, but you have draftable grades on. Because if they didn't go to the combine, you don't have medical, and you're not going to take a guy if you don't have medical information on them. So in some cases, it could be a guy at a pro day who ran 4.3 and jumped 42 inches. And you're like, man, we only had one grade on him in the fall. You know, we're just trying to catch up. We need to bring him in, spend some time around him, and get a physical.
You know, it's interesting to talk about and to break it down in that way. We talk about these visits and the character stuff. A lot of the stuff is the medical, but really the character, because now you're trying to figure out from a cultural standpoint, how does the guy fit, particularly if he has character issues? Do we believe we have the right environment for him to be able to not only be a great football player, but can he be a model citizen within our walls? Can we trust that he is going to make good decisions? And so the more that you learn about the player, hopefully the better you feel when it comes to yay or nay in terms of the prospect, but it still doesn't guarantee anything. I remember years ago when we were the Carolina Panthers, we brought in Odell Thurman, linebacker from Georgia, who was a great player. He was a great player, but let's just say on his visit, he had a tough time making it to where he needed to make it without an issue. He was a little distracted. So it kind of foreshadowed how his NFL career would be. But look, it's a funny story. He ended up in a place where a gentleman's spot that he certainly didn't need to visit on a top 30 visit is probably not the best look. And so we passed on Odell Thurman. He did have a great, I think, rookie season or second season. Like, he had 2 good years, and then he may have bombed out in the league. So sometimes the visits don't go your way, but you're always trying to bring in the character guys to make sure that you feel great about them, particularly when you have to present the information to ownership.
Well, I'll give you, and not to pile on Odell Thurman, but he came in our combine room and in the 15-minute interview, and there was some stuff, you know, some stuff in the background. And
yes.
So Mike Singletary, who was our linebackers coach at the time, just he went off on him, you know, just how can your priorities be this out of whack? And you made this decision and this decision. You're not going to last this league if you don't do it. I mean, it went on longer than any of us anticipated in the room, to the fact that it didn't leave us enough time to do some of the other things we needed to do in that 15-minute period. And then, so this whole thing goes on. And so it's like, okay, now let's take a step back and let's try and maybe lighten it up a little bit and just kind of finish up this interview. And we've probably established we're not going to take him, you know, at this point in time. And so the next question, I don't remember who it was in the room, but somebody said, all right, Odell, is there anybody, like favorite player, anybody you grew up admiring, pattern your game after? And he said, Mike Singletary. And that's a tough one.
That's a hard one.
That was a tough one.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one to deal with.
That was tough. When it comes to quarterbacks, it's different with them. Obviously, you're going to get as much interaction with them as you can. Some teams will send them a little mini playbook ahead of time, maybe a week ahead of time. And then when they come in, you're going to kind of quiz them on that and ask them to even kind of explain it and install it. So that's an interesting thing that teams do. One thing that I know a team's doing in this cycle I thought was fascinating was they're giving the quarterback tape of his game, right? Like an all 22 tape of his game. And they're having him, okay, I want you to create a tape now, a cut up off of this, and come in and tell me, what was your preparation in the game? You know, what did you think you were going to do? What were you going to see? How did that happen in the game? What was maybe the same or different than your preparation? How, and then the, how you played in this game, and explain to me why, and, you know, why not, the decisions that you made within the game. But having them kind of make their own tape off of their own game, I thought, I actually liked that better than asking you to swallow our information. Like, how well can you explain what you did? We'll have time. We're going to have time to give you our offense and install it, and then go from there. But how much did you master the offense you've had the time to study there? Where you were in college. I thought that was fascinating.
No, it is fascinating. I think it's beneficial a few different ways. We are seeing now more than ever. It used to be draft a quarterback. Quarterback has to learn your system. We're now seeing that the teams are having success with young quarterbacks, are drafting the quarterback, asking him, what are the favorite things that you did in your previous system in college? How can we take that as a base and build upon that? And so the more that the quarterback can explain the offense that he played in, the more that he can demonstrate the mastery of that offense, maybe the more compelled you would be to take some of the core concepts of that system and put it into your system to allow the quarterback to be comfortable. It also potentially could signal some red flags if the quarterback can't fully and in depth and detail explain what he was asked to do, how he was asked to do it, and how he did it on tape. To me, that's the thing, because if you've been in school 3-4 years and you've had the same offensive coordinator, same system, you should know it like the back of your hand. And the ability to articulate it is important, because you're going to be asked to talk to your teammates, articulate exactly what you expect from them when you break the huddle sometimes, because you're going to have one or two guys that may not know and they're going to ask. And so your ability to be able to master schematics and also communicate those schematics are really important in the evaluation process, because that's what you're going to be asked to do each and every day.
Yeah, 100%. That to me, I think, is a great, it's a great way to see mastery. And that's what you want, right? That's what you're searching for. When they get on your squad, you hope that they're going to master the information that you give them. But I think in some cases, it's almost a little unrealistic to ask them to do that, you know, right now. Let's let them prove that they've mastered where they were, and then we'll work on, you know, what they can do for us. So I thought that was fascinating. Just wanted to give everybody a little behind the scenes look there at what goes on in these visits and why these visits happen. Because I feel like sometimes you'll see it pop up on Twitter and they'll say, oh, this player's going there. Like, oh, they love this player. You don't know. Maybe they just have some incomplete information. They're trying to fill it out. You mentioned the smokescreen thing. I always thought that was kind of dumb. You know, like, you, these are priceless visits. You want to use them all accordingly.
Look, yeah, there's no need to trick people. Like, at the end of the day, you want to get it right. And that's what you're judged on, your ability to get players that contribute for you in major ways. And so, yeah, you can do all that other stuff, the deceptive practices or whatever, but I would rather spend my time making sure that we got the right players that fit our system so we can have success when the ball is teed off in September.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about quarterbacks and what it looks like in terms of the team building process. We've done some homework on this. We've got some interesting nuggets and notes. We want to hit on that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy-to-wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self, and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Buck, let's jump into this. You've done some homework on quarterbacks as it relates to the team building process, as it relates to trying to win a championship. And I want to give you an opportunity here to let us know what you learned through that process, and I'll give you my thoughts on it as well.
So, DJ, this is fascinating from so many different angles, and we could have a full podcast on this. But I wrote at the end of last week in my notebook, I talked about the quarterback factory. A couple years ago when the Philadelphia Eagles selected Jalen Hurts after signing Carson Wentz to a 4-year, $128 million extension, people really took Howie Roseman to task because he talked about, we're in the quarterback developing business. We want to create a quarterback factory. As long as Doug Peterson is here, we've talked about this is important to us. And so going all the way back and thinking about Doug Peterson being a part of Andy Reid's coaching tree and Andy Reid being a part of Mike Holmgren's coaching tree, it took me back to my time with the Green Bay Packers. Ron Wolf, Mike Holmgren, and those guys believed every other year you should draft a quarterback. You should draft a quarterback. You should develop the quarterback because the quarterback is the most valuable commodity that any team could have. And if you have multiple quarterbacks that can play at a high level, it allows you to trade off and auction off those quarterbacks to get back what you need, be it players or draft picks. Now, remember, Mike Holmgren came from San Francisco, where in San Francisco, you talk about the San Francisco 49ers having two Hall of Fame quarterbacks on the depth chart at the same time. Joe Montana and Steve Young. And then the third was Steve Bono, who also played in the league and played successfully as a starting quarterback. So now fast forward ahead to what Howie Roseman is talking about with the Philadelphia Eagles. When they took Jalen Hurts, people viewed Jalen Hurts as a developmental prospect. He came in, he was a second round pick. People wondered, how could you expend a second round pick, which is a valuable pick, on a quarterback? Well, fast forward now, Jalen Hurts is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. They move on from Carson Wentz. This is a team that has gone to a Super Bowl because of how quickly Jalen Hurts developed. I think there's some lessons to be learned for team builders in looking at the quarterback and never really shying away from taking a quarterback high if that quarterback has potential and if you're invested in developing young quarterbacks, despite maybe having a quarterback on your roster.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think it's a great point that you bring up. And I would say, having been in that building, Buck, that they, if you were to rank the positions, and I'd say a lot of times we do this. I think our buddy Lance just did this the other day in terms of the positions in this draft, how they stack up. But if you were going to say, what are the most valuable positions, a lot of times people will pull out, you know, the franchise tag numbers, because your money is going to tell you where the value is. Like, who's getting paid the most at what positions, that's going to tell you where the value is. But I would say, having been in that building, they, if they were going to list all the positions, backup quarterback would be listed ahead of starting guard. Like, they would. They value that position for three reasons. Number one, you have value as the backup in case he has to get in and play, right? Like, you want to invest. They've always invested in that quarterback, whether it was a high draft pick, a relatively high draft pick, or whether it was paying some good money in free agency. They've done that over the years. Look at the money that they've doled out to their backups, because they view that as a, as an important thing. Because starter goes down, he gets in place for us. So there's value, number one, as the backup. There's value, number two, as somebody that could develop into being your future starter. So that carries tremendous value. This guy might end up being our starter. We're going to continue to work with him, and now all of a sudden we've made him a starting quarterback. So there's tremendous value there. And then there's the third option, which is what you're talking about as well, which is the trade option. So we're going to build him up. He's going to have value for us as a trade chip to be able to bring us more draft capital than what we expended on him, or be a really strong return on your initial investment. But they don't view it. They don't view backup quarterback as a backup. They view that as almost like a starter level position. And therefore, there's a lot of emphasis placed on having somebody in that role that's either accomplished as a veteran or somebody that's got tremendous upside as a young guy.
So let's go back and let's think about that organization, the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's think about some of the quarterbacks that have made their way through there. So we think about Donovan McNabb, which was taken in 1999. I think that was Andy Reid's first pick. They have him. Doug Peterson was the starting quarterback initially. Donovan McNabb takes it, and then they go on. Remember, this is the only team that was really interested in Michael Vick. They bring Michael Vick in as a backup, yeah, as a developmental player behind Donovan McNabb. Michael Vick becomes the starter. And they have Kevin Cobb, who they drafted. I think it used a second-round pick on Kevin Cobb.
Second-round pick.
Developed him to a point where when Michael Vick pops and explodes and plays at a high level, they trade him away to the Arizona Cardinals and bring back, I think, a talented corner, maybe Dominic Rogers-Cromartie or somebody they bring back, and some currency. And so you continue on. Nick Foles, and Nick Foles saves the day when Carson Wentz goes down. And so you see how the Philadelphia Eagles – have consistently been in the playoffs.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford used him, traded him away to the Minnesota Vikings when they had Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz showed that he was ready to play immediately. And so they understand the value of that. And so we can talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, but let's talk now about the San Francisco 49ers and what they're quietly doing, because everyone is talking about Brock Purdy, because we saw last week at the owners' meeting where John Lynch said, hey, he's earned the right to be the starting quarterback based on what he did last year in 7-9 games, however you want to judge him. Trey Lance was the number 3 overall pick. CEO Jed York said, we're okay with that, because what you do to get Trey Lance is what you need to do to get a quarterback, and the cost of doing business is what it is. But you can never have enough quality quarterbacks on your roster. And when you have a quality set of young quarterbacks on the cheap, because I think combined – Trey Lance and Brock Purdy will combine for a cap hit of about $10 million. And so, because it's so cheap compared to the going rate of $40 million for a starting quarterback, it enables them to go and get a Javon Hargrave. It enables them to eventually re-sign Nick Bosa and some of the other talented players that they have on the roster, because the quarterback is on the cheap. And, oh, by the way, they signed Sam Darnold to a one-year $2.4 million contract, so they can develop him. Kyle Shanahan talks about he has the skills to be a starter. We've seen him be a starting quarterback in the league. And so for about $13 million, they have three options at quarterback. And they said, eventually, we would love for one of these guys to be signed to a mega extension. But if not, we're going to continue to operate with this young, cheap model and continue to build up the rest of the roster and see what it looks like down the road.
So I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because how many times have you seen it? And even if it's not immediate, if it's a couple years after the fact, like you've seen the posts about, man, the 49ers got raked over the coals in this trade. They traded up for Trey Lance. They traded these two future ones. So when you look at the columns, it's Trey Lance in this column, and it's those picks and who those players are in the other column. It's not accurate, because that's not what it is. It's the money that they save with Trey Lance compared to what they would have to pay Jimmy Garoppolo. And so all of a sudden now you put Javon Hargrave in that column with Trey Lance. And all of a sudden those scales start balancing out a little bit, because that's not, it's not just, you know, you're trading the picks for a player. You're trading the money. You're trading the chance to get a quarterback on the cheap, which is going to free you up. The picks you'd love to have, but because we don't have those picks, you know, you wish you had them, but you don't. And now you have all this money because you got a cheap quarterback, which frees you up to spend in the free agent market. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. When you look at that trade, you have to factor in the money.
DJ, you know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting for someone like a great coach. Maybe it's Kyle Shanahan. I'm waiting for a great coach who has a great plug and play system to begin to use pro football like college football, meaning, you have a quarterback for 3 or 4 years. That quarterback graduates. You bring in another quarterback to play in that system. And you continue to run that recruiting cycle until you get what we're going to talk about in a few, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. If I don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback, I'm not going to be married to a guy who is an average to a slightly above average quarterback. I'm always chasing great. And so we'll keep cycling these quarterbacks through. We won't become emotionally attached to the quarterback. We will be attached to the money that we're paying the quarterback based on the production that he brings. And if he doesn't bring the level of production and performance that is at that Pat Mahomes or Joe Burrow level, we're okay moving off of him and bringing in another. And so it will take someone with courage and conviction to do that. But the teams that are able to do that will always stay one step ahead of the game, because look at the Niners and look at how they're always close. If you use that model, you can be successful until you get the quarterback, the gold jacket caliber quarterback that you need to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think Ryan Tannehill, I was just trying to look it up, I think his cap hit's like $36 million. So if you take the Titans as an example, well, they trade up. Man, you have to give up some assets to go from 11 to 3. But with giving up those assets, they get the quarterback at 3. Tannehill moves on. I think that number, I think Zach Wilson, his number was around $10 million, was like his cap hit, right? So that's just a quarterback that was taken number 2. So this would be the number 3 pick. So I haven't looked at the exact numbers, but you're somewhere around $10 million. So in that difference, in that savings of $25 million bucks, like, dude, you can go out and get some really good players for $25 million bucks. So that offsets what you give up in terms of the draft picks.
It does offset that. And we're at a point where we're talking about the devaluation of running backs, right? And so if we're looking at, hey, don't draft them early, we can draft them late, we can get that. So if you're all in on the valuation model, DJ, it's taking what we talk about, the most valuable positions, it's investing in those valuable positions and doing it. So we've heard Howie Roseman talk about it. He said it in the article that I read. He talked about, we're always about offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and quarterbacks. Like, that's what the game is. The game is about that. Yes, we'll get playmakers, but we are always going to invest in those things. And so people talked about, hey, they drafted Andre Dillard. Maybe it didn't work out, but Jordan Mailata worked out. So what? It's a wash. So it's not necessarily about when you expend the picks. It's the money that's allocated and the way that you utilize the money based on how you develop the players. And so it's a holistic approach, but it's one that should be followed, because we have seen this team is always there. And the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid, because Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, they utilize a variation of that. They moved off from all of their expensive players, pretty much, like Tyreek Hill. No, because we have the Hall of Fame quarterback. Now we went cheap on defense with the developmental model, with all of the DBs and the pass rushers and those things. And so there are ways to do it both ways, with a high money quarterback and with a young, cheap quarterback. There are ways to do it, but you have to have the courage to not listen to the outside noise, to make the moves that you have to make based on the situation that you have at quarterback.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the high money quarterback, and then you look at the cheap quarterback, right? There's the two different plans to build. The one thing they have in common is it's a talented quarterback.
Yeah.
So if you take the years and you take the money off the table, the one thing that's irrefutable is the fact that these have to be high-end, high-ability players. Now, that's going to get us this next part of this discussion, because my buddy TJ McCrate, who I worked with, who actually got me into the NFL, was my brother's college roommate and kind of opened some doors for me to give me my opportunity there with the Ravens. He's working with the 33rd team, does a great job there. And he had this tweet a while back and said, if you look at the last 31 Super Bowl winners, 27 of the 31 either have current Hall of Fame or future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So the four, and that's taken into account, we're going to assume that Eli Manning, you know, eventually gets into the Hall of Fame. You know, I know Peyton was on the downside with the Broncos at that Super Bowl, but still, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback who was on that team. If you look at the 4 years in the last 31 that it did, it wasn't a Hall of Fame player. It was Nick Foles, played out of his mind in the playoff stretch. It was Joe Flacco, same thing. It was Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer. So those are four out of 31 years where the quarterback who won a Super Bowl isn't a Hall of Famer or a future Hall of Famer. And I think we're assuming Matt Stafford, with the numbers he's going to continue to pile up throughout his career, and he's got a championship, we're putting him in that classification as a Hall of Famer. Debate that. You can debate that at another time. The point still stands, Buck. You have to have an elite-level quarterback to win a Super Bowl unless you are darn near perfect everywhere else and everything just lines up for you. So that begs the question. You should be in one of two camps if you're a team right now. You have a future Hall of Fame quarterback, or you are looking for a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Those are the only two options.
That is it. So what you saw me doing when I was playing my phone, I was doing a little math. And so the math suggests that you need to hit at 80% rate, meaning 87% of the guys that are winning Super Bowl have Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks. So when we start to evaluate, and I think sometimes it's kind of easy to fall in the trap, DJ, particularly when you're media scouts, right? It's easy to fall in the trap of, hey, everybody's a top five pick, and you got to take him in the top five and this and that. But what we're saying is, really, that should be reserved for, like, hallowed ground. That should be, like, reserved for, like, those special players. And I know people will point out, well, you know, Pat Mahomes was taking 10. Well, we mis-evaluated Pat Mahomes based on Mitchell Trubisky going 2. Pat Mahomes should have been up there in that spot. But what you're looking for when you're evaluating these quarterbacks in the draft, you're looking for, as you put, high-end quarterback play, high ability. We're talking about, like, rare elite traits. That's how it has to be done. And you want to see the production on the field, but you're not taking a quarterback just because, hey, we need a quarterback. We're just going to take a guy. Like, it has to be, your eyes are affixed to, hey, we're always hunting for that gold jacket quarterback.
Yeah, it changes the way you think, you know. And I think of a team like Detroit, who, as far as I know, I don't think Detroit's doing a ton of work on quarterbacks.
They said they have their quarterback.
So I think they're kind of content. They're content with Jared Goff. And Jared Goff played great. Jared Goff was 1-1. You know, he was the first overall pick, so that means there is the ability there. Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl, you know, had a chance to win a championship there, has had good statistical numbers. It's just, you know, maybe it's a little bit easier in the NFC than the AFC, but you have to be real with yourself, though, Buck. When you look at just look at what we just talked about, you have to be real and say, okay, is good enough? Is good enough? Because if you look at it historically, it hasn't been.
It hasn't. And so you're always evaluating that position, and you want to be realistic when it comes to that. So that means teams like the Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins. It even means teams like the Dallas Cowboys. Can you envision those guys being gold jacket guys? And more importantly, we talked about this. We talked about one of the things that you do when you're scouting and you're building your team is you're building your team for the division. Well, let's take out the team and let's now talk about quarterbacks. Right now, we can confidently say, like, the top four or five quarterbacks include, in whatever order, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I would throw in Justin Herbert. You're going to talk about Jalen Hurts being in that conversation. You have to be able to look at your quarterback and put a versus by that. My quarterback versus any of those five guys that we're talking about. And if my quarterback in a shootout cannot win a shootout with those guys, then we need to upgrade and get better.
And you know what? Think about our era during when we were scouting. You had to look at it and say, okay, Tom, Ben, Peyton, like, Can we get through those guys? Because those are the guys that are winning all the Super Bowls. Is our guy good enough to go beat that run? Especially when you're in the AFC at that time, where it's like, okay, we're going to play Ben Roethlisberger 1 week, and turn around and play the Colts with Peyton Manning, and then, oh, we got Tom Brady waiting for us in New England.
And so that's how it has to be. And so the quarterback either has to have the individual talent to take those guys down, or you have to build a super team that will close the gap, that will enable him to win in a one-and-done scenario against those guys that we're mentioning. And so when it comes to quarterback play, and as it relates to the draft, when we're looking at these guys, can we envision those guys going toe-to-toe in a shootout with those top guys? That's the standard when we're talking about grading guys or whatever. You just don't want to throw grades up there, but that is the standard. Can I see my guy eventually getting to a point in 2 to 3 years where he can go toe-to-toe with those aforementioned five guys?
This is this would be an interesting project, and maybe we throw this out there to a listener to have some fun and do a deep dive on this. We can have Jack help us out and research as well. Our buddy does a great job. If you compared Jared Goff with Eli Manning, there's some similarities there, right? Mm-hmm. Guys were first overall picks, didn't click early, then had success. The difference being, though, Eli, in those big games and the biggest moments, was able to elevate everybody. Elevated himself, then elevated everybody around him. Now, it wasn't, you know, as consistent throughout his career, but in those big moments, he was able to do it. Jared has gotten to those stages in those moments and hasn't been quite able to do that. But I'd be curious if you looked at the numbers, looked at their careers. It's pretty interesting.
That is a great comparison, because when you brought up in our era, you talked about Tom, Peyton, and Ben Roethlisberger. During that same era, Eli Manning won two. And so he's a bit of the outlier. Yep. And so now, based on that.
But in the NFC, right? Because all the quarterbacks are in the AFC. He didn't have to run the gauntlet to get there.
He only had to play one of them.
He didn't have to go through the whole gauntlet of them.
And so then, looking back at Eli, what was really the impetus for them winning? That defensive line and the way that they played. He made a handful of throws that were spectacular. But I wouldn't say that the Giants necessarily won because of him. I would say that they won because of the collective more so than that. But for that, Jared Goff certainly deserves to be in that conversation. So it kind of changes maybe the way that I look at Jared Goff if we're using the Eli Manning model. And the Detroit Lions have to be cognizant of that, because then they need to make sure that they elevate the team and elevate him by surrounding him with a supporting cast, not just offensive weapons, but defensive firepower that enables him to play his game and win against those guys that we talk about that are currently in the top five.
They built the defensive line to go get those Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I think it's different then, even harder though for Eli, because you had Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Out there in the NFC. You had to get through him, and that was no easy task there on the way to a Super Bowl. But man, you look at right now, the NFC is pretty wide open. It's a fascinating debate and discussion if you're the Lions. They're, to me, the team that has the most interesting decision, because you can say you can use this Giants model. You can say the NFC, look at how watered down it is right now. Jalen Hurts is kind of, the class of the quarterbacks here. We don't have the gauntlet that the AFC does. We can build up a defensive front. We already have a pretty good start at it, and we can add to it in this draft, build up a dominant defensive front. And then we're making the bet that he's going to be good enough to get us through whoever we would see in the ultimate title game.
Yeah, I mean, that is what it is. But remember, the landscape changes quickly. And all it takes is a handful of quarterbacks to pop up in the NFC, and now it resets. And so it gives them a chance, where you talk about the Detroit Lions. It also may lead us to understand maybe why the New Orleans Saints wanted to go so hard at Derek Carr, because maybe in their mind, they can surround him with enough that gives them a fighting chance to be able to knock off the Philadelphia Eagles and some of the teams at the top of the NFC.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting time to be putting a team together, and there's lots of the data you got to pour through it and try and make the best decision for yourself. That was fun. That was a fun exercise there to just kind of see where teams are. Are you comfortable with who you've got, or are you chasing? And we're going to find out when we get to the draft how this thing comes off the board. And I think today's a little bit of an example, listening to this and having this conversation, Buck, where you can see, hey, if you don't have one, just keep going. Keep trying. Swinging. Keep taking your shot. You got to just keep swinging. You can't stop. You can't just get content with who you have. So that's where you look at Seattle with Geno Smith. You look at Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. You look at the Raiders with Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Any of those teams decide to move up and take a swing on one of these guys, don't be surprised because of what we just talked about today.
Yeah, it's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. Either you have one or you don't, but you're always looking for one. And ultimately, that search determines how you build your team.
There you go. All right, this has been a fun episode. Again, Path to the Draft kicks off this afternoon, so be on the lookout for that. That is going to be 6 Eastern on NFL Network. Buck's going to be all over that. And Mock Draft Live tomorrow as well. It's draft season. We're here. Appreciate it, Buck. Good to see you, man. I will see you in person tomorrow. Good luck with the show.
All right, man. We'll do it.
All right, that's it. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.